This is your World War III update. The world is reaching a breaking point. And maybe I am too. All I gotta say, guys, is buckle up, because tonight's episode is gonna be a wild ride. It's becoming increasingly harder to collate all of the information that I'm aggregating on a daily basis and formulate on the basis of it some workable hypotheses that is useful for people. Because what we're trying to do here is stay ahead of the information curve so we know when the panic buying is about to start. That's really the gist of it, because we're already prepared, or at least you should be, pairing your consumption of this catastrophizing content with some practical preparedness. I hope you have done that at this point. If you're not, then you missed the point. But it's becoming more and more difficult as these wars and these crises metastasize day after day after day. There's going to reach a point where it's impossible to cover everything. Okay, and today was one of those days. And I'm just going to barely scratch the surface in today's video. Let me see if my battery is good here on my microphone. I'm going to need it tonight. Now, it got me thinking. At times like these, it's important to go back to first principles and understand exactly what is happening in the world, because it's easy to get lost in this convoluted matrix of different stories and polycrises that are emerging. And if you want to understand what's happening right now, it's incredibly simple. Incredibly simple. I can explain it in a paragraph. Right now in the world, you have emerging powers that are coming into conflict with the existing power structure. The existing power structure, in an attempt to prevent the rise of this emerging power structure, has declared war on the emerging power structure. And that is where we are today. We're about to see a kinetic exchange between these two sides. And indeed, there is really only two sides. The reason why I jump around from place to place so much is because you really have to look at this from a bird's eye, grandiose perspective if you want to truly understand the chessboard. Here in the West, we are trained to only see a sliver of a thing. We're trained to play checkers, more or less. In the East, they can play chess. Why? Because look at all their leaders. Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, the Ayatollah in Iran, Vladimir Putin. These are all essentially leaders for life. So they can play the long game, okay? So they can think far more strategically than we can over here. All of these countries are becoming ever more interdependent technologically, militarily. They even all embrace a similar brand of nationalism, which has been lost here in the West, where everybody is everybody else's identity and it's just a ball of confusion that changes every 4 years. In fact, you know, a good analogy for what I'm saying here is this. This is the Australian breakdancer. If you didn't know, breakdancing is a sport in the Olympics now. She appears to be having some kind of full body convulsion. But as you watch this, I want you to understand that this is everything in our society. This is people selling their house to buy Bitcoin. This is Joe Biden not knowing where he is. All of the shortcomings of living such a pampered, soft lifestyle for so long. That's what this is, okay? So this cringy full-body aneurysm is the result of essentially a broken system, which is now having a fit, and it's trying to prevent the rise of these superpowers, and in doing so, it's actually making the problem much worse. Because consider, for example, NATO's encroachment on Russia's borders. We're led to believe that Russia just out of nowhere one day had evil machinations in their mind and they decided to go and invade Ukraine. Well, we all know anybody with half a brain and just a little bit of depth in their analysis knows that that's far from the truth. They know that Russia was provoked, by and large, by this NATO encroachment on its borders. We know that in Iran, right now, the Israelis distinctly targeted the Hamas leader while he was in Iran, so to start a war with Iran, so to beget an Iranian response. That's obvious, because they could have did it anywhere else. They did it there for a reason. There's a reason why you have F-22s going into the Middle East, air superiority planes. There's a reason why those planes primarily used for offensive purposes. Yes, they can shoot down drones and things like that, but basically they're there to accompany the bombers that are going to likely be going into Iran and dropping nuclear weapons. That's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say, Nate, you're being sensational, you're catastrophizing, you're being alarmist. Well, take a look what's happening right now. I want you to imagine it's 2022, and I just finished telling you the following. Ukraine, armed with F-16s, Leopard German tanks, American ATACMS missiles, are going to be invading Russia, utilizing NATO ISR and possibly command and control. They possibly planned it all with the help of MI6 and whoever else is involved there. They're going to be invading Russia with several brigades of troops and trying to take out the Kursk nuclear power plant. That's exactly where they're heading right now. Imagine I said that in 2022. You'd be like, come on. No way. I mean, this is like Nord Stream era. This is pre-Nord Stream. Most preppers I know would immediately get their family and tell them to go into the bunker. Nowadays, what's going on? This is what's going on. I want you to watch it, because this is most of the people you see every day. Intellectually, I mean. Okay? This is what's going on. This is what we're doing. We're not investing in civil defense infrastructure. These are the people in charge. Okay? This is like the best that we send to the Olympics. Yeah, breakdancing is a new sport. But, well, the breakdancers they have there are actually really good, except from Australia, who, of course, has been systematically, mentally neutered by their government. So today, Sabrina Singh, the Pentagon spokesperson, decided to try to convince reporters that the United States is perfectly fine with Ukrainians, who the Russians view as Banderite neo-Nazis, invading their country using American weapons, American mercenaries. We have it on film. What I'm assuming he's an American, because I didn't hear him say A and I didn't hear him apologize in the video. I can't show you the video, or this video will be flagged by YouTube. And that's all part of the scheme too, right? You can't show what's really going on, what's really going on. You can't show that. She wants us to believe that the Russians are totally fine with what I just told you, an American soldier caught on film going from house to house using American weapons. Oh, but he's got a Ukrainian blue strip. And I mean, even that is kind of symbolic, right? NATO, right? So NATO is invading Russia. And thank God that Vladimir Putin has the strategic forbearance. Thank God he's an authoritarian leader. I want you to think about this, because if he wasn't able to think so far ahead, he probably would have pushed that button a long time ago. What he is banking on is that this incursion into Kursk is going to fail, and that it is essentially exactly what happened, you know, to the Germans. Was it the Battle of the Bulge? Was it that one where, you know, it was like their last Hail Mary attempt at turning the tide of the war that failed, but they failed miserably because they didn't have the reserves? Started off okay, but then, you know, they eventually lost. So he knows that's what this is. And again, I've been saying this since the start, and I'm no Russia bro. Trust me. The Russia bros despise me when I call them out on their cope about this situation and many other situations along the Russian front. They despise it. but indeed, you know, Vladimir Putin has been playing chess ever since the beginning, but not in the maneuver warfare sort of way that we all thought. He's been playing economic and political chess, building alliances, building soft power with other countries, because he knows ultimately in this war of attrition, where the United States is $35 trillion in debt and all of its vassal states are withering on the vine as well. Europe, of course, now beholden to the Americans once again. Well, of course, perhaps they always have been. Let's face it, I mean, American occupying forces have been there since World War II in numerous countries, in Japan as well. So everybody is on the shit list at this point in time, and the authoritarian leaders, as we call them, they're the only ones that can plan ahead. We got to do the four-year fish-out-of-water flip-flop, you know, the full-body dry heave that we see at the Olympics right now. And at this point in time, there's no sense in me. I got 10 pages of notes. If you think that this is just me and my rhetoric on this channel, everything that I'm telling you is informed by data. I have all the data. I can tell you about all the little events that happen throughout the day, but that's all you need to know. All wars happening right now are one war. Right now, emerging power bloc is challenging the existing power structure, and the existing power structure has no choice but to try to interdict the progress and go to war first. And that's what happened with NATO's encroachment on Russia's borders. That's what's happening in the Middle East, where 110% Israel and the United States are about to go to war with Iran and its proxies, because Iran is getting too powerful. They're getting too powerful, not only in just population, I mean, just simple population. Those are the countries that are still having babies. The countries that are still having babies are the ones that we're at war with, with the exception of China. And yeah, I mean, arguably, they're still having more relative than a lot of the Western countries, right? And were it not for immigration, I mean, there'd be no population growth. There'd be population decline in all Western countries, pretty much. So this is problematic. So this is a world war. It's going to get worse. Somebody has to win. Unlike the Cold War, where you had the Soviet Union dissolve, I don't think you're going to see that this time. And that's unfortunate, because that means it has to go kinetic. Day zero is on the horizon. It's just a matter of, can we postpone it long enough? Will the West just collapse? And quite frankly, you know, I just hope that one side collapses so we don't have to go to nuclear war. But there's people out there who won't let it get to that point. They're going to go all the way, because this same hubris that got this individual to believe that they're actually good, this is the same arrogance that is going to compel us to launch a nuclear strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. Iran's nuclear facilities, you say? Yes. What's going to happen? Excuse me. Ugh. What's going to happen with Iran's nuclear facilities? Well, here's the deal. Iran has about 60 to 70 underground missile cities, they're called. They can launch missiles from these. Some of them are 500 meters under a mountain. Even with the biggest, baddest bunker-busting bomb, even with a nuke, you probably can't penetrate a lot of these places, okay? And I've made the mistake of presuming that that made Iran immune from Western attack. But I forgot how crazy our leaders are. And this is how we gaslight, you know, like the guy who was sodomizing the Gaza POW on camera, right? And the people were rioting to break him out, saying he was justified in doing what he's doing. It's Abu Ghraib all over. Nothing has changed since World War II. Nothing has changed. Human nature is fundamentally the same as it was 10,000 years ago. Now, I made the mistake of assuming that they could not nuke Isfahan because it wouldn't make a difference. Because you can't get deep enough even with a nuke. But what you can do Well, you probably can make a massive crater that would impede access to that facility for some period of time, and it would likely do whatever those centrifuges do when they get out of control. But what you can do is you can render the region uninhabitable with some kind of nuclear dirty bomb. And I'm concerned that that is the Samson option in this case. Now, Russia has been sending plane load after plane load of something. We don't know what, but they've been sending it to Tehran. Now, is it just empty planes to make it appear as though they're sending something? Nobody knows. People speculate it's S-400s. There's a lot of rumors with no proof. People speculate it's electronic warfare equipment, early warning radar systems, missile defense, SU-35s that the Iranians have been promised for some time. They've been training on trainers for several years, and they have the underground facilities getting ready to house these planes. Nobody knows what this is about. But what we do know is that today, Russia issued a notice to airmen not to fly to Israel between 1 o'clock and 7 a.m. every day until August 16th. Why would Russia do this? Why would they be so specific with the cutoff point in their date? Well, I'll tell you why. Shit's going to go down next week, okay? The Russians are acting as somewhat of an intermediary, and probably at the request of Iran. Because even though Iran is saying, we're not going to telegraph this time we mean business, let's get something clear. They understand what it means if they go full on. It means all-out war. If Iran launches a real attack, and not just this pantomime display that we've seen last time, where they notified everybody, they basically said exactly where they're going to shoot. Well, they fell short of doing that, but you get my point. They want to do that in such a way that they do it without the public not realizing that they're doing it, and this is how they're doing it. They're getting Moscow to impose this notice to airmen, don't fly to Israel from that period of time. This is why all the diplomats are evacuating. This is why all the airlines are suspending flights there, because they know Iran is going to attack probably within the next week. That's what it looks like. I can't see any other reason why Russia would have a cutoff date and such a specific window of time, essentially telling Israel that this is when it's going to happen. Israel probably gets the signal. The question is, Israel, who assassinated the Hamas leader in Iran, are they going to see that as de-escalatory, or are they still going to use this opportunity to justify more strikes? I suspect they will. They'll continue doing the only thing they know how to do, and that's just keep on pushing forward. There is no reverse gear with these people because, again, they're flip-flopping, having a full-body convulsion on the floor. They're in their death throes, and they don't know what to do. That's just a simple fact of the matter, okay? They don't have the population. There's too much debt. Okay, they don't have the energy. They're just outnumbered. All they have is nukes and the United States military that is dwindling and currently preoccupied on multiple other major fronts with peer adversaries. So, you know, they're fucked. And, you know, I mean, FAFO, as they say, right? People are about to find out. Now, Iran is still probably going to get nuked. But the question is, will Russia and China allow them to be destroyed? I don't think so, because that is Russia's bulwark to the south. That is Russia's flank that's being protected by Syria and Iran, and Syria is getting an immense amount of military equipment as well. This is an American military base in Syria, okay? And they got bombed tonight, and it looks like some kind of maybe fuel storage or something that was hit there, because that's a big fire. That's a big explosion, and these drones typically aren't, you know, they don't have a huge yield. So I'm presuming they hit something substantial there. And this is in response, I think, to what was an attack against a base in Syria, which is used by the Russians. And that just happened just a few hours before this. Maybe not a few hours. I think it happened like a day before this. So it's no surprise that this event has occurred. No American casualties. Okay, makes you wonder, either they have really good intelligence or they seen it coming from a mile away. They went in the bunkers. Or it perhaps was something that was downed and accidentally hit a place where there was nobody at. But the situation is escalating. And here's another shot of that. Can't really see because my big head's in the way. There we go. That's what's going down. I'm just bouncing all over here tonight because, you know, how do you collate and triage such immense amounts of information? Again, it's just, this is insignificant. This is all stuff you're going to forget by next week because there's going to be bigger events next week. But if you care about this tactical minutia, we can talk this. We can talk shop. So this is in the Persian Gulf. What you're seeing here is an image from a Iranian stealth drone, they claim. It could just be a drone that the Americans decided not to shoot down because it's in international waters. But the Iranians are claiming it's a stealth drone. Obviously, this is the Strait of Hormuz. This is a region that they control. It is literally miles from the country of Iran. And of course, the United States has a very large naval presence in the region. Right now, I believe, is this the Theodore Roosevelt? I'm not sure. That's Troy Carrier Group. I think this might be that one. Regardless, they're letting the Americans know that we can see your ships and we will sink your ships. And they're putting, what are they called? The missiles that are intended, anti-ship missiles, on display today. So clearly trying to send a message. Now, you also have a situation in which Biden decided out of the blue, you know what, we're going to start sending weapons to Saudi Arabia again. This is right around the time you're starting to see some rapprochement between the Saudis and the Iranians. That's over now. You can kiss Saudi Aramco goodbye when this thing starts because the Houthis are going to absolutely unload on the Saudis. This, of course, comes one day after that OIC meeting with the Muslim countries where the Iranians and where the OIC collectively agreed that, yes, the Iranians have the right to retaliate. So clearly trying to pit Sunni versus Shiite once again. So, you know, whatever. I mean, at this point, whatever. Like, the Israelis are getting underground hospitals ready. We all know that. Getting ready for what cometh, which is chaos. I can't get over this. I mean, I can't get over this. It's just so crazy that here we are. Tactical nukes, not too far from this location, in the final stage of the exercise, while the F-16s are in play, while this shit's going on in the Middle East. There's no coincidences, guys. Something big is about to go down. Something very big is about to go down. It's very dangerous to minimize this. I hear a lot of people. If I was a Russia bro, I would not be minimizing this. I would be in the very least talking about the incompetency of Valery Gerasimov, who is one of Russia's top generals, who oversees the Southern District. I would be calling for the rolling of heads because the incompetence, the level of incompetence required to not be able to police a gap. Let me see if I have the map here to just put this in perspective, okay? The Russians have such a massive border. Right now, they're in a hot war with, obviously, the entirety of Europe, for the most part. This is all they had to really, you know, just fortify it a little bit. Evgeny Prigozhin said distinctly, he said, World War III is coming, and if you want to have a good seat at the table, if you want to be an officer and not some grunt in the trenches, you better sign up for the Wagner Group or for the Russian military now. He said that before he was exiled or had his plane shot down or whatever. But he also said, look, if we don't do something about this Sumy region, these guys are going to invade us, and we're not going to be defending in and around Kharkov. We're going to be defending in Kursk. He said that. And the lackadaisical Gerasimov said, meh, it's probably nothing. And so the problem is Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, all of them are currently fortifying their borders big time. And so is Finland. Finland, take a look at this. Estonia begins preparing roads and bridges for NATO military equipment, because you need specialized roads and bridges for these, because these things are so heavy, right? So they're getting all the infrastructure ready to roll in the tanks into Russia. I know people are like, Nate, you're freaking out, you're alarmist. Go watch cartoons, man. Go watch fucking cartoons. Because you clearly ate into this adulting thing. Finland, you got, I should probably quit damaging this very expensive screen. Finland, American military is now welcome in their military bases thanks to them becoming a member of NATO. They got bunkers with their F-35s. They're positioning their military along the border. You're seeing more and more reconnaissance activity. Vladimir Putin, I mean, think about being Putin right now. What's going on? Of course, you're going to be worried, but imagine having the restraint to be able to not push that button, because I assure you, if Vladimir Putin gets assassinated, whoever they replace him with will drop the nuke in a heartbeat, because they don't have the strategic foresight that that guy does. Say what you want about him, but he is one smart son of a bitch. And that's not something that can be said for our leaders. That's not to say I'm a fan or anything like that. I'm not a Russia bro. I'm an objectivity bro. Aladinov is the Chechen commander within the region, the guy who also kind of got caught with his pants down as well with respect to this incursion, is saying that NATO is the one who is supervising this invasion. Now remember, Sabrina Singh, Pentagon spokesperson, saying she doesn't think it's a big deal that American weapons, and probably the F-16s too, because there's nothing saying that they can't use those, American weapons, period, point blank, can be used inside Russia. I'm sure it's fine. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. You know, Banderite, neo-Nazi enthusiasts invading Russia, invading a Soviet nuclear power plant. What could possibly go wrong? I'm sure it's nothing. Let's go back. Let's just culture ourselves a bit. Yeah. I wonder what Kanye West's girlfriend is wearing or not wearing today. I wonder what Kamala Harris didn't say today. Yeah, it's over. This is the video I can't show you, but it's an American with, some kind of rocket launcher doodad going house to house in Russia. And really enthusiastic about taking over parts of Russia. These are Russians fleeing, okay? Fleeing the region, getting a taste of their own medicine. This guy is saying now, he's the power behind the throne. I mean, the real power behind the throne by some people's accounts is the MI6. That's who makes sure that Zelensky doesn't get assassinated. But this guy is another guy behind the throne, and he is essentially... You'll always see Zelensky with this guy, which is kind of suspicious in a way. Is he a bodyguard? Is he there to make sure that Zelensky doesn't blink, you know, to say that he's being held hostage? But he is now saying that, just because they've had this incursion, that, we've decided that, you know, no more peace talks, no more, we're not going to be removing any preconditions, and, we're basically back to game on. We're going to see. Maybe if they start flooding in brigade, and they start going blitzkrieg, you never know what can happen. Shit can get out of control real fast. Okay? And this guy here, this is a good, you know, it's important for people to realize we are becoming, in our war against supposed authoritarians, we're becoming authoritarian. In the UK, all of these draconian Big Brother Orwellian laws are coming into play around social media. You can't repost something that was deemed illicit material for people to see. You cannot stand at a protest or be in the vicinity or proximity of protesters or you're going to go to jail. Okay, so what this was, this is a Russian reporter showing the position of convoys of military equipment, which is just stupid, right? Unless the Russians are really trying to make note of where they are, there's a reason why this is illegal in Ukraine. In fact, there's a reason why elections are illegal in Ukraine. And there's a reason why it's illegal to avoid the commissars when they come and stuff you in a van and send your ass off to the front line in the meat grinder without barely any ammunition. There's a reason why they do that, because we are becoming authoritarian. This bastion of free speech and democracy that we're fighting for in Ukraine is just, you know, there is nothing reminiscent of democracy remaining in that society. And that's, you know, before all the corruption and all that other stuff that is going on there, right? So the reason why I wanted to show you this, and it's not loading, is because it's just the contrast. We view Russia as authoritarians, yet they still have the right, as stupid as it is, and I'm sure this guy's probably in the gulag by now for doing this. He's a reporter showing the position of a Russian convoy and showing landmarks so you can actually see and pinpoint exactly where it is. Now, this makes some people suspicious that perhaps this was a lie hop situation. That's a let it happen on purpose type event where the Russians, in some 4D chess genius move, decided to allow the Ukrainians just enough rope to hang themselves with by thinking that they could pull off this Kursk invasion and they're going to throw everything into it. And before you know it, all the Russians are going to come out of the bushes and encircle this salient in a cauldron. That's what some people think. That's the Russia bro cope. I don't know what's going on. I do know it won't be long now before a nuclear bomb drops. And you know what? It could just happen. It could just happen in Russia. Russia could nuke Ukraine inside Russia. Is that on your bingo card? I want to know if you had that one on your bingo card. This is just, you know, why do I even do this shit anymore? What's the point? We're all screwed. So, I mean, we're all screwed in the sense that we're all going to die anyway someday. But, you know, we're all screwed in the sense that we're kind of helpless with this situation. But not entirely. You can still prepare. And I think at this point in time, you got to prepare. Just a good rule of thumb to be in the mindset with everything you do henceforth. Just imagine that day zero, that you knew with 100% certainty that day zero would be coming in, let's say 30 days. Live your life as if the world is going to end in 30 days. And again, I don't think nuclear war in its many different variations necessitates the end of the world, not by a long shot. Many people would survive even a full-blown nuclear war. And we're going to be debunking myths about nuclear war in an upcoming video. We already just did one about nuclear winter, but there's many more myths. Okay, it's going to be horrific. It's going to be just nightmarish, but it's still going to be survivable, far more than people think. But at this point in time, when this person is in charge, okay, when this person is running the country, you need to be prepping like the world is going to end in a month. This is the Olympics. This is the Olympics, the best in the world. And Australia, in their infinite wisdom, sent the Easter Bunny, who is on drugs and clearly has some sort of seizure health issue. I don't know what's going on. She's doing like kung fu, like the snake or something. is this a joke? Is she trolling? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do about that? The Ukrainians took over a gas plant and they're bombing many air bases. No more peace talks. And remember what Vladimir Putin said, guys. Vladimir Putin said this. He said, Westerners supply weapons to Ukraine and say, we don't control anything further here. Westerners supply weapons to Ukraine and say, well, you know, we don't control anything Ukraine does with said weapons. And it doesn't matter how they are used. We can also say we have supplied someone with something. And we do not control anything. Let them think about it. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about some country in the Middle East? Is he just referring to Belarus? North Korea is already taken care of. They already have nukes. You know, China, they're fine. He's got to be talking about either Belarus or some country in the Middle East. Syria, possibly. There's so much, there's a shadow war going on that you think, some people think I'm informed. I have no idea what's going on. And my rule of thumb is if I don't think I'm an idiot a few times a day, then I am an idiot. Because if you think you got it figured out what's going on, there is so much shit going on in the back channels that there's a silent war, a covert war happening. It's probably happening in cyberspace. There's probably all kinds of operations that we're completely oblivious to and insulated from. Iran, for all we know, has dozens of nuclear weapons, and that's the reason why Israel didn't respond in April. Because Israel clearly wants a war. Now, it's time to get into the video. This is, you know, I write all these notes because I like to be organized. But then I get here and it's like, what's the point? According to a well-known journalist in Syria, he is saying, and this guy is typically quite accurate, okay? He is saying that I see that an Iranian military strike on Israel is inevitable and it may exceed its current range of more than 500 missiles and drones. All indications are that Iran, excuse me, will carry out its attack in less than a week, but more important than the strike is the Israeli and American reaction after it is carried out. Indeed. This is true. If Iran knows that Israel and America are going to start a war, why not do it now while the American resources within the region are relatively lower than they will be once we mobilize and do the whole brouhaha with, oh no, Iran attacked and they're the bad guys and it was totally unprovoked and all that shit. You might as well do it now because you know it's coming. You know, as Vladimir Putin says, if you know a fight's coming, throw the first punch. According to the Washington Post, they report that Iran's attack could be more sudden, larger in scale, and longer, possibly lasting several days instead of several hours, and could involve a coordinated barrage from the multiple proxies within the region. And if that happens, you're going to see some destruction in Israel, for sure. U.S. CENTCOM is mobilizing within the region. I don't have the specific information about this today, but from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of activity in Cyprus right now as well, which of course is the island across from Lebanon. Lebanon has threatened to fire missiles into Cyprus as well if they allow the Western forces to use it as a staging ground. We talked about the base that was bombed in Syria as a reciprocation to the strike on the Syrian airbase that is used by Russian soldiers. And of course, we keep hearing this talk about Israel doing a preemptive strike, And all that is, that's just an insurance policy so that if Iran or if they get some intelligence that Iran or Lebanon, Hezbollah, I should say, decides not to strike, then they can say, make up some intelligence that says, no, we're sure, we have evidence they're going to attack, we have to do a preemptive strike, because they want a war. They need a war. Netanyahu needs a war. I mean, that society is all kind of messed up, okay? And, you know, I'm not going to show you the flip-flopping fish out of water again, but that's a great example of that. Having a tantrum. Air India has announced that they are going to be suspending flights to the Middle East at least until November 1st, specifically Tel Aviv, not the entire Middle East. Russians continue to send weapons into Syria and Iran. Russia is going to be getting hundreds of ballistic missiles from Iran, so deepening military cooperation there, more interdependent. And when you have that interdependency increasing, it increases the degree to which all wars are one war. Something happens to Russia, it affects Iran more when you have those deep military partnerships. And before you know it, you're going to have a relationship in which, if Iran gets attacked, there's some sort of strategic military pact of sorts that if Iran gets attacked, Russia has to enter in some capacity. Now, of course, there's a large population of Russian-Israeli dual citizens in Israel. Russia has to walk a fine diplomatic line, and that's why I think they're telegraphing to the Israelis in an attempt to try to de-escalate, but really just postpone, because they know the shit's going to hit the fan. So, and they actually want, they have a vested interest in Iran shedding some blood for the cause, because it's going to take attention away from what's going on in Kursk and perhaps postpone the day when he has to deploy nuclear weapons, which is going to happen because we're unimaginative here in the West. They claim in Iran that there is internal conflict because I think it's a political issue. Okay, so what's going on is Pashinyan, I can't pronounce his name, demands a moderate approach. This is the new president. Remember when the Iranian president's helicopter just went down and everybody forgot about it like 4 hours later? Well, there's a new president in Iran, okay, and he's supposedly more moderate. He wants peace talks, and which is all the more reason why you know that Israel wants to start a war, because they had a chance to start anew. Even though we know the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, is the ultimate say on everything, they still had a chance, right, to reset, but they chose not to. They chose to escalate. Anyways, he's still pretending as though he is, because I think a lot of his constituents are, you know, very anti-war, at least right now. They're anti-war until Israel gives them a reason to be pro-war, which is coming. But so he is supposedly at odds with the IRGC, who the Revolutionary Guards are pushing for direct strikes on Israel despite the risk of escalating the conflict further, whereas the new president is saying if there is a peace negotiation in Gaza, potentially, actually, let me walk that back. This was actually debunked. He's saying that we need a more moderate approach, that we should target Israeli bases outside of Israel, whereas the IRGC is saying, no, 500 missiles and drones into Tel Aviv, okay, or military bases likely, because they're going to try to minimize civilian casualties, because of course that's a red line. Israel has stated that if there's any civilian casualties, any, then we're going to retaliate. So all Israel has to do, I mean, if they really wanted to start a war, was maybe fire off a few more errant interceptor missiles that maybe just end up hitting the wrong place. But again, you'll be banned if and when that happens. You will be banned if you go against the narrative. It's been happening on here a lot. Scott Ritter, hate him or love him, he just got his home raided by the FBI. Okay, he had his cage rattled for some reason. Quite frankly, I thought it should have happened long ago. I'm still very suspicious of the whole clique, the McGregors, and that entire circle jerk of intellectuals who just only talks amongst themselves and does these softball interviews. I'm quite skeptical because, you know, it's just one of those things, just a hunch, that how come all these former intelligence officers are the ones spearheading? I mean, this is classic COINTELPRO. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's weird. And we should probably think about it. Sinwar's terms. The new Hamas leader, the guy who's hiding in the tunnels of Gaza, supposedly. I don't even know if that's true. Anyways, the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar, has reportedly relayed to Egyptian mediators his uncompromising stance on ceasefire talks with Israel. I mean, for all we know, is the guy dead? Like, is someone just writing this on his behalf? Is it AI? He wants full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. Never going to happen. Maybe the Israelis knew this, and this is why they wanted this guy in there, because it ensures that, you know, Netanyahu is going to remain in power, even though Israel is on the brink of a civil war, and despite all of the threats and everybody hiding in the bunkers, there's still protests in the streets against Netanyahu. That's how much they hate him. Release of high-profile Palestinian detainees, very unlikely to ever happen, and if it does, they'll just be scooped up in a dragnet immediately afterwards. No to Palestinian Authority running post-war Gaza. I think I talked about the Iranian nuclear scenario, in which the way that they're going to destroy the Iranian nuclear program is to render the region uninhabitable. Did I talk about that already? I'm losing my mind. I'm Joe Biden. I'm fish out of water up here. But yeah, that's what they're going to do. So it's definitely in the cards. They're going to nuke Iran's nuclear facilities. People saying, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. There's a guy who looks like the sunken eyes. He looks like, I don't know, just some ghoul, like some dead man walking, who was caught on camera sodomizing a Palestinian prisoner. You know, no biggie. He's free. He's at home. He's chilling, right? And they'll drop a nuke on Iran. Absolutely. All they need is just a little bit of justification to do it. You got a guy who got standing ovations, more standing ovations than any other foreign leader. And after everything that has happened thus far, they're going to nuke Iran. That's the only way to render that region uninhabitable, is to make it a radiological wasteland and ensure that there's enough long half-life fissionable materials left in the soil that the only way they can ever access that place again is with full hazmat gear and still probably come down with acute radiation sickness. So that's what's going on. But the Revolutionary Guard claims that they have it covered. I mean, you got to think, Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, these guys have just spent decades preparing for Armageddon. Who knows what North Korea has? People are always laughing because they're wearing, you know, outfits from the 50s and 60s. But the vast underground networks, the cities, these guys have one task, and that's preparing for nuclear Armageddon. So their engineers perhaps have thought about this. I've talked about on the channel before how if you have an access point to a bunker, for all you know, the tunnels underneath that bunker extend for hundreds of miles in all directions. So even if you do hit the entrance, there could be multiple emergency entrances. And so just taking out the entrance doesn't necessarily mean, but I'm presuming that the U.S. has accumulated enough intelligence that they feel they can deal some kind of death blow to one of these many dozens of underground missile cities that are vast, and they're modern. They're far more modern than the Cold War era stuff. What else do we have to talk about here? Yeah, Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia is going to benefit from increased oil prices if a war breaks out, so long as Aramco doesn't get hit, because they're running a pretty high deficit right now, which is rare. So they need the price of oil to go up. So they actually have a vested interest in some regional scale limited war unfolding. According to the former British ambassador to Lebanon, he's told all UK tourists and citizens to get on a plane now, as the Middle East is about to erupt. Israeli Channel 7 website now reports that a delegation of senior U.S. military officials have arrived to Cyprus amid preparations for an attack by Iran and Hezbollah. Yep, it's going down. Oh, and this is an interesting story. broke by Douglas MacGregor. Roughly 70 Israeli special forces, along with a number of American mercenaries, were tracked the moment they infiltrated Yemen and were ambushed and killed. Now, I don't think a high-profile individual like that would say something unless it was at least had some truth to it, but you never know. So going back to the Russian front, and see, this is the thing. You can't just talk about one front without talking about the other, because all wars are one war. That'd be a great T-shirt. It's a great philosophical comment as well. All wars are one war. Russia will reclaim 200 kilometers of sanitation zone in the Sumy region once they've driven the Ukrainians out of the Kursk region. There are more states of emergency being imposed in neighboring oblasts like Bryansk due to counterterrorism operations. So they're actually worried. They're trying to now finally crack down on things. I mean, these are countries that still have borders open, okay, and are still letting people freely travel back and forth. If anybody should be imposing martial law at this point in time, especially in those regions, and I know to some extent or another they have, but not full-blown martial law, which at this point in time, I think that's coming. So far, the invasion details, as far as I know, total area in question is 683 square kilometers under Ukrainian control is 412 kilometers. Up to 10,000 Ukrainian military may be involved in the operation, according to Forbes. Polish-American soldiers and mercenaries are involved in the fighting, as was evidenced in the video I'm not allowed to show you. In the Lipetsk region, an energy infrastructure facility was destroyed, and that was a massive explosion. You also have, of course, the supply disruptions of gas, which are compromising Hungary and the Czech Republic's gas, and that's what they're now controlling, one of the primary pipelines that goes in to Ukraine. So Russia's going to create a sanitary zone, blah, 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 blah. Russia is now blocking signal and throttling YouTube. So the digital Iron Curtain is fast closing. And Serbia, Alexander Vučić, the guy who said shit hit the fan was going to come in 3 months, was he just forecasting his own mortality? Because according to him, according to the Russians' intelligence that he was provided, apparently the West is getting ready to foment a coup in his country and take him out under the guise of some kind of social human rights protest or something like that. So Putin sent him the deets that he was about to be overthrown. Now, is this just disinformation to play Vučić? Who knows? Who knows, man? It's a tangled web we weave. Oh, avoid the Olympics. The CIA is urging citizens to avoid the closing ceremony due to a terror threat. And I think I told you guys a few days ago that one of our primary distributors is seeing a six-fold increase in military orders, and they're wanting them accelerated to be delivered in 1/5 of the standard time frame. Just record amounts of last-minute preparations, right? These people have no idea what they're doing. Due to popular demand, we've brought shirts into the website. These are high quality. It took me a long time to find a high quality Canadian made distributor for shirts. And these are trademark Canadian prepper shirts. They have our logo in the back. It's a very nice feeling shirt. You guys probably know I always wore those CCFR, Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights shirts. Well, I contacted the company that makes their shirts because it's not just because I'm promoting the company. They don't pay me a dime. It's because I'm lazy and they send me shirts all the time and the shirts are really comfortable. They're nice and form-fitting. They're like a cotton, but it's also infused with some other material that makes it flexible a little bit, not like an elastic, but they're just really awesome shirts, okay? And you can get them in a variety of different colors. We're keeping our designs very minimalist at this point. So we have a few different designs. One for, you know, if you're a person who's more like an outdoorsy person and you're not trying to scream, I'm a prepper, survival mode with a select set of icons. We have our Rambo knife, we have our compass and our tent, we have our Canadian Preparedness logo on the side. We didn't want it to be like, hey, you know, go buy stuff at CanadianPreparedness.com or Canadian Prepper. It's a good conversation starter, which is what we wanted it to be. Right now we have three types, but we're going to be releasing many like custom icons with different types of icons. This one's Nobody Panic, so it's kind of more middle of the road. You have your rope, you have your first aid equipment, and you have your folding knife. And then for the hardcores amongst us, we have Prepared as Fuck, right? So this is some of the female versions. There's a few different colors. Chili red, probably be quite popular with the ladies. Army green, desert tans, things like that. And Prepared AF. So this is the, you know, the top tier prepper. At the same time, I wanted to make shirts that I myself would be comfortable wearing with that would be good conversation starters, but not scream, I'm a crazy person, to be avoided at all costs. Although that can be useful in some situations. We also have sweaters, and the sweaters are really good, thick quality as well. They're very high quality sweaters, $60 Canadian, which is pretty cheap. And, you know, I mean, for a good hoodie nowadays, that's pretty cheap. And honestly, when you start wearing these shirts, you'll know what I mean. You'll be like, oh yeah, this is not just another t-shirt. All those t-shirts you see me wear, the reason why I don't even really wear them anymore is because they weren't comfortable. And the companies I was getting them from, they just weren't that good. Oh, and if you want a bulletproof t-shirt for at least handgun calibers, check out our body armor that we have. This is level 3A body armor insert t-shirt. So if you do like, you know, some dangerous line of work or something, or you have to walk through bad neighborhoods on a regular, you might want to consider stuff like, we got thousands of products at CanadianPreparedness.com. Right now we are dealing, let me just reset this page here. We're dealing with smoke. The smoke situation is insane. I think that's why my voice is kind of messed up lately, because just the smoke is just making us sick up here. This is firesmoke.ca. We got lots of forest fires burning. Up north, Alaska just got hit with some of its the highest temperatures ever. And we got the Northwest Territories lighting up again as well. And yeah, just remember this. This is us. This is our government. Okay? And our government thinks that they're amazing. This full body, convulsive, meth outburst is the best we have to offer. Well, the best Australia has to offer, at least when it comes to breakdancing, folks. All right, guys, I think on that note, I'm going to let you go to bed. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe.